Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
Amen. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. If you have a copy of God's Word with you this morning, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. For the last several weeks, we took a pause from the book of Hebrews, and we talked about what is the gospel. And we saw that the gospel is God, man, Christ in response. And last week, we took the opportunity to talk about what we are to do with the gospel, and that was to proclaim it, to tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, we're going to go back to Hebrews. And I'm excited to be back in Hebrews, starting in Hebrews chapter 3, picking up exactly where we left off just several weeks ago. So, let's first begin by reading Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. And ultimately, we're going to see that Jesus is greater than Moses. So, let's begin by reading verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house, and if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting and our hope. Today, we're going to specifically focus on verse 1 of that 6-verse passage there and just seeing how we should consider Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity to gather here, to worship you, to praise you. We thank you for the songs of being able to sing nothing but the blood of Jesus, Lord. We thank you that that is all that it is, Lord. It's nothing but Jesus' blood. Because if it was anything else, if we had to add anything to it, Lord, we would fail miserably. But praise God, it is by faith alone in Christ alone, by God's grace alone, that we are saved. Lord, help us to remember today to consider Jesus in our lives, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would just open our eyes and open our hearts to be able to see and to hear. Open our minds to be able to know, Lord, what your word is teaching us today. Helping us to consider Jesus. God, we thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us on the cross. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you think about through your day? What do you think about through your day? You wake up, you begin your morning, you eat breakfast, you get dressed, or you get dressed, then you eat breakfast, and you begin your day. And then you go to work, or if you're retired, you stay at home and you enjoy doing retired things. Maybe you spend the day working around the house, mowing the lawn, watching TV, watching the news. Maybe you spend the day cooking. If you're a grandparent and you watch your grandkids, maybe you spend the day watching your grandkids. For those of us that work, we spend our time thinking about our job, thinking about what we must do next to complete the task at hand, right? For some who have kids, you may spend the day wondering about your kids or playing with your kids, or maybe you stay at home and you have plenty of chores to do around the house, such as laundry and washing the dishes and sweeping and what's the other thing, mopping. I don't like doing chores. No one does, right? But it's something we all have to do. But we spend our day thinking about all those things. The point being made is that we live busy lives. We live extremely busy lives because we have all these things that we have to do throughout our day, and that keeps us busy. It keeps our minds busy. And that busyness can often make us or prevent us from considering Jesus, from fixing our thoughts on Jesus, from thinking about Jesus. Our life and busyness can often become more superior than Jesus and what Jesus has done. And this is similar to what is happening here in Hebrews chapter 3. As we talked about, it's been a while since we've looked at chapter 1 and chapter 2. And if we remember, in chapter 1 we saw that Jesus was superior to the angels. Chapter 1 and chapter 2. Excuse me, that Jesus was superior to the angels. And in many ways, what was happening here in chapter 3 is the Jewish converts to Christianity, if we go back to chapter 2, remember, they were considering the angels superior to Jesus. But now, the people, the Jewish converts to Christianity, are considering Moses as greater than Jesus. Jesus is greater. They were looking back to Moses. They were thinking about Moses. They were considering Moses. They were thinking about the law. And it makes complete sense because Moses was the author of the first five books, right? Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses was the one who gave the law. Moses was the one who was the mediator at that point in time. God spoke to Moses on a very personal level, didn't he? He did. Moses can be considered one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament just based off of how faithful to God he was. How well he served as a servant to God. How he led the Israelites out of Egypt, through the wilderness and to the banks of the river, crossing over into Canaan. Although Moses never got to go to Canaan, Moses is the one that led them to the banks of the river. Moses was it. And these early Christians, they had begun to consider Moses again. They were thinking about the law again. And the author of Hebrews is now saying, no! No! Jesus is greater. Jesus is the greater one. Consider Jesus. Think about Jesus because He is our confession. He is the apostle and high priest, and He is worthy of more glory than Moses. These first six verses that we've read is clearly showing and telling us to remember Jesus, to consider Jesus, to set your thoughts on Jesus, to not forget that Jesus is the one who was sent, to not forget that Jesus is the one who died on the cross for us, to not forget that Jesus is the one who is mediating for us, to not forget that Jesus is faithful and He's worthy of more glory than anything else in this life. So today and next week, we are going to look and see how Jesus is greater than Moses. And today we're ultimately going to consider and see four reasons to consider Jesus. There's all four reasons. That's not supposed to be there. It's just supposed to be the first top line there. But I'm giving you a look ahead here. But four reasons to consider Jesus. Four reasons for us to not forget who we are in Christ and what He has done for us in our salvation. My hope, my purpose in preaching this passage from Hebrews 3:1 is that you will consider Jesus as greater than all the busy things in your life, than all the sinful desires and worldly pleasure in your life, and think more about Jesus. That we will consider Jesus more. Because as we see, the first reason to consider Jesus is because Jesus defines who we are. Jesus defines who we are. Look at the beginning of verse 1 again. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus. These few words here are incredible, and there's ultimately three ways that Jesus defines who we are when we consider Jesus. The first way that we see of Jesus defining who we are is that we are holy. Jesus defines us as holy, as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus who have been saved. We are holy. We have been made righteous and set apart because of Jesus and what He has done for us on the cross. We sang earlier, nothing but the blood of Jesus, right? It is by Jesus' blood that we are made righteous, that we are made holy. We are different than the rest of this world in that we are holy. We are God's children who've been made righteous. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how because of Jesus' righteousness, we are made righteous when we believe in Him and repent of our sins. How His blood washes over us. And when God looks upon us, He doesn't see us. Who does He see? He sees the blood of Jesus. He sees Jesus and His righteousness. And therefore, we can have a relationship with God. We are made holy because of Jesus. And this is one way to define who we are in Christ. We are holy people. We are holy. And when we consider Jesus, when we fix our thoughts on Jesus, when we fix our minds on Jesus, we are reminded that we are holy. Not because of anything we've done, but because of everything that Christ has done. And here's what happens when we remember and when we identify as holy. We will live holier lives. We will live holier lives. This is exactly what we are commanded to do as Christians, right? Is to live holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. But as He who called you is holy, this is God, but as God who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. And in verse 16, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Church, we serve a holy God, a righteous God, a blameless God, and He expects and desires and wants nothing of us except to be holy. As people who have been made holy by the blood of Jesus, we must remember that our identity as Christians, our identity as Jesus followers is holy. And when the devil comes attempting, we remember that we are holy and we resist sin. Believer, I want you to know that your sin does not define who you are. Your sin does not define who you are. Jesus defines who you are. Jesus defines who you are. He is the one that tells you who you are, and He says that you are holy. So if you're struggling with sin in your life, or maybe you are struggling with any other sort of thing, whether it be anxiety, depression, or any other sort of something that's happening or going on in your life, don't identify with that. Identify as a son of God, as a child of God, as a daughter of God. Identify as holy because of Jesus. Because if you identify with yourself, if you identify yourself with that sin or with whatever is happening, you will live that sin or you will live whatever it is that you're identifying with. But if you identify yourself as holy in Christ, you will live holy. I want to be clear that yes, we are made holy by the blood of Jesus, but does that mean we will never sin? Nope. Because we are still in this fleshly body, right? Yes, we identify as holy, but yes, we're still going to make mistakes. But God in His goodness will never hold that sin against us because we have been made holy by the blood of Jesus Christ and we have been forgiven of that sin already because we've gave our life to Jesus. We've surrendered ourselves to Him. So now let's look at the second way Jesus defines who we are. If we go back to that verse, see here, I don't think I... Do I have it there after Wilson? I may not. If we go, there we go. Okay. Therefore, holy brothers. You can also read that as holy brothers and sisters. We are a family of brothers and sisters with a heavenly Father. We touched on this several weeks ago in chapter 2, verse 11, which states that Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters because we have been sanctified, or rather, made holy. And when we consider Jesus, when we fix our eyes and fix our thoughts on Jesus, we will see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Holy brothers and sisters, that is. Now, I understand that some of us may not all have the greatest siblings in the world, right? When I say greatest siblings, I'm talking about blood relative siblings. Some of us don't have the greatest brothers and siblings. Brothers and sisters. Let me make sure I get my word there right. Some of us don't have that. And that takes away from understanding the greatness of what it means to be brothers and sisters in Christ, doesn't it? But think about the greatest moment with your siblings. Think about those great moments where it's just pure happiness and joy, and you're just getting along so well, great conversations. Think about those moments and understand that as Christians, we are to be as brothers and sisters in Christ, like those greatest moments you've ever had with your siblings. In many ways, it should be greater, far, far greater than those great moments you have with your very own blood siblings. Because we have a heavenly Father. We have something in common with our brothers and sisters in Christ that even our brothers and sisters' blood relatives don't have sometimes. And that is Jesus Christ. That's the blood of Jesus. That's the blood of Jesus. We have a family that we can rely on, a family that we can trust and go to in time of need and care. We have a family that loves us and cares for us because we are holy brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jesus defines us in that way. So thirdly, look at this again. Jesus defines our citizenship. Jesus defines our citizenship. Remember what this verse says here. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a, what does it say? Heavenly calling. A heavenly calling. Church, our home is in heaven. Our home, our eternal home is in heaven. It isn't earth. It isn't here. It's in heaven. That's where our home is. Yes, we live here. Yes, we have a house here. Yes, we have family here. Yes, we live in a home here. We have loved ones here. But our home is in heaven. you were to lose your home tonight, and I pray that doesn't happen, but if you were to lose your home tonight, if you were to be kicked out of your home, you can live with peace and knowing that that home is not your eternal home. That home is not your heavenly home. Because our home as Christians is in heaven. Our homes here, our lives here, it's only temporary. We're here, what's the verse? As a mist, it's just a vapor. As a vapor, is you see the vapor, it's there and it's gone, right? That's a picture of our lives here on this earth compared to eternity. This is only temporary. And because our home is in heaven, we should identify as citizens of heaven. As those who have citizenship of heaven, remember, because our identity is in Christ. Because of Jesus, because of what He has done, we have a citizenship in heaven. We may live as Americans in the United States of America. We are citizens of the USA. And what do we define ourselves as? Americans, right? We define ourselves as Americans. But that is who we are in this world. We're not British, are we? We're not Chinese, are we? We're not Irish. We are Americans because we are citizens of the United States of America. As Christians, when we consider Jesus, we remember that we are citizens of heaven. That we have a heavenly calling. And this helps us in so many ways because when life is hard, when life is tough, when sickness comes, when cancer comes, when evil and war comes, we remember that our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. In our day and time, when so many people struggle with their identity of who they are. As Christians, we must identify as holy brothers and sisters with a heavenly calling because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Reason two of why we consider Jesus. When we consider Jesus, we remember He is the sent one. When we consider Jesus, we remember He is the sent one. If we go back and read verse 1 again, it says, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle." Consider Jesus the apostle. Now, what does it mean that Jesus is the apostle of our confession? What does that mean? What is an apostle? Why don't we just start there? What is an apostle? An apostle is essentially one who is sent. Right? One who is sent. We often associate the disciples of Jesus as apostles, right? And that would be correct. Jesus sent the disciples out and they became sent ones. They became apostles of Jesus Christ. Now, what does it mean that Jesus is an apostle? If we go and we see in John chapter 20, verse 21, the Word of God says this. Jesus said to them, He's talking to His disciples, Jesus said to His disciples again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." At this point, the disciples of Jesus became apostles because they were sent out by Jesus. Jesus sent them. And at the same time, Jesus tells us that He is the greater sent one. Right? "As the Father has sent me," Jesus says. He is the first sent one. He is the greater sent one. Jesus says that He was sent from the Father in heaven. He is God's Son that was sent to be the Savior of the world. You remember John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that He gave, He sent His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." He gave, He sent His only Son. In one of my commentaries I read this week, the guy says this: Jesus as apostle, as the sent one, is God's representative to human beings. Jesus as the apostle is God's representative to human beings. Because what is Jesus? Jesus is the God-man, right? Jesus is God's representative to human beings. Here in a moment, we're going to see the flip side of that. Jesus as apostle is God's representative to human beings. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the status of man, right? How man has a sinful nature and a guilty verdict. And in order for man to be redeemed, and in order for that status to be changed, man needed a Savior. Well, who sent that Savior? God did. God is the one who sent Jesus. God is the one that sent Jesus. Jesus is God's representative to human beings. And when we consider Jesus, when we fix our thoughts on Jesus, we remember that it is the goodness of God how He sent Jesus to be our Savior, how He sent His Son, Jesus, to represent Himself, but also to represent humanity. And now Jesus is not only the apostle, but also the high priest. The first verse here in many ways summarizes all of chapter 1 and chapter 2. If you remember verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, which reads, this is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And then He goes on to say, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. He's spoken to us by His Son. And what that means is He has sent His Son to be the voice, to speak to us, to be the Savior of the world. The very reason why God has spoken to us by His Son is because He was sent. He was the apostle of God. He was the first apostle. And that leads us to how Jesus became our high priest. When we consider Jesus, we remember He is our high priest. When we consider Jesus, we remember He is our high priest. We go back to our verse again. Remember, Jesus, the apostle. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest. As I stated earlier, this first verse in chapter 1 in some ways summarizes chapter 2. And if you remember, at the end of chapter 2, verse 17, we saw how Jesus is the great high priest. And so we see here. Read it with you. Therefore, He had to be made like His brothers in every respect, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. To remember the role of the high priest in the Old Testament, they were a representative, right, of the people to God. They represented the people of Israel. And they did this by offering sacrifices to God, by going into the Holy of Holies once a year for the sins of Israel. They represented Israel. And so now we think about Jesus and what He has done for humanity, what He has done for us, what He has done for human beings. Jesus was the sent one who would live a perfect life, a sinless life, and who would sacrificially die on the cross of Calvary. Just as a high priest was to sacrifice a perfect animal to atone for the sins of Israel, Jesus, through His perfect self, sacrificed Himself in order to atone for the sins of all who would believe in Him as Savior and Lord of their lives. Jesus was the sacrifice. Jesus was the offering. And now Jesus is the mediator of all who believe in Him as Savior and Lord. Jesus is our high priest. He is the great high priest. He is the final high priest. Jesus, as the commentary noted, as high priest, is humanity's, is human beings' representative to God. So Jesus is God's representative to man, and Jesus is man's representative to God. God sent Jesus. Jesus paid the price. Because of Jesus, we are made holy. Because of Jesus, we are righteous. Because of Jesus, He is the one mediating for us. He is our representative. We needed someone to represent us. We needed a Savior, a righteous Savior, one who could represent us, and Jesus is that representative that we needed. And when we consider Jesus, when we think about Jesus, when we set our thoughts on Jesus, we remember what He accomplished and did for us on the cross of Calvary. When we consider Jesus, we remember the salvation that we have because of Jesus being our high priest. Let's go to reason number four, our fourth and final reason. When we consider Jesus, we remember that He is our high priest. When we consider Jesus, we remember that He is our confession. He is our confession. If we look at the end of verse 1 again, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. Of our confession. Jesus is the apostle of our confession. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. But why is He the high priest and the apostle of our confession? Because He is the confession. Without Jesus being the confession, He would not be the apostle and He would not be the high priest. Jesus is the confession. The confession was Jesus and what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary. The confession was the gospel of Jesus Christ and how He can give life to people. And the early Jewish converts to Christianity were going back to Moses. They were going back to Moses. They were confessing Moses and the law again. But the author of Hebrews has spent all of chapter 1, all of chapter 2, showing us that Jesus, the Son of God, is superior to the angels. He is the greatest one. He is the greater one. And He is our confession. It's not Moses. It's not the law. It's Jesus. And guess who is still our confession today? Jesus. We live in a society and culture that confesses everything else other than Jesus. We live in a society that tries to blend Christianity with other religions sometimes. We live in times where people only want to confess parts of Jesus or pieces of Jesus. They want Jesus for heaven, but they don't want Jesus as their Lord. They don't want to live obediently to Him. We live in times where people want Jesus to just go away, don't we? Hey, just make that guy go away. They want Him and Christianity to be no more. But church, our confession is Jesus and Him alone. We must always confess Jesus. He must be our confession in all areas of our life. He must be our confession of this church, all churches for that matter. Jesus is our confession because He is the sent one. He is the high priest. He is God's representative and He is our representative. When we consider Jesus, we are reminding ourselves that He is our confession. That Him and Him alone is our confession. And the way in which Jesus becomes our confession is by believing in Him and repenting of your sins. Following Jesus. And maybe today you have never responded by confessing Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. Maybe you've never responded or made a decision to believe in Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. And maybe you're wondering, why? Why do I need to confess Jesus? We've already talked about it a little bit, but God is a holy God, isn't He? He's a holy and righteous God. And we as human beings, we have a sinful nature and we have a guilty verdict. We are sinners. And when we sin against that holy God. And that brings His wrath upon you, upon me. But God in His goodness has sent a representative. God in His goodness has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to take those sins that you have and remove them from your life. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, He bore those sins for you. And when you believe in Jesus and repent of your sins, He will take all that sin away. He will put His blood over you, and you will be righteous as Jesus was righteous in the eyes of God. And you will be saved. Romans chapter 10. We read this last week. Because if you confess, this is the whole point. If you've never believed in Jesus Christ, never gave your life to Jesus, this is what God's Word tells us to do. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. He goes on and says, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." So friend, if you're here this morning and you have never believed in Jesus Christ, you have never repented of your sins, I want you to know that today you can do that. That today you can respond by believing in Jesus Christ and Savior and Lord of your life. And all it involves is you believing in Jesus Christ and what He did for us and repenting of your sins and seeking to never sin again. If that's you this morning and you want to have a conversation about that, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you during our time of invitation or as you're walking out the door this afternoon. Church, I want to come back to you for just a moment and I want to ask you this question. Is Jesus your confession? Is Jesus your confession? Are you confessing Jesus in every moment of your day? In the busyness of your lives, are you still confessing Jesus even in those busy moments? Even when you don't feel like or want to confess Jesus, are you still confessing Jesus in those moments? Because when we confess Jesus in every moment of our lives, we will ultimately remember that Jesus is our apostle, that Jesus is the high priest, and that we will live holier lives because Jesus is our confession. Let us consider Jesus and remember that He is our confession. Today in our sermon, we have seen four reasons to consider Jesus. Four reasons to fix our thoughts on Jesus. When we consider Jesus, Jesus defines who we are, right? He defines us as holy. When we consider Jesus, we remember He is the sent one. He is the apostle. Out of God's goodness, He sent Jesus. He sent His Son. When we consider Jesus, we remember that He is our high priest. He's the one who died on the cross, who gave His life, who sacrificed Himself so we can have salvation. When we consider Jesus, we remember He is our confession. Started off this sermon by asking the question that what do you think about through your day? And now I want to ask you this. Do you think about Jesus throughout your day? Do you consider Jesus in your thoughts throughout your day? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Maybe you do a little, but you're realizing that you don't think about Jesus at every... I'm not saying you have to talk about Jesus or think about Jesus at every waking moment of your day, but He should be a priority throughout our whole day. We should be thinking about Jesus often. But maybe you're realizing today that, you know, I go hours sometimes without thinking about Jesus. Sometimes I may go a day or two without thinking about Jesus or considering Jesus. Without thinking about the very one who saved my soul. Without thinking about the very one who died on the cross for my sins. And so if that is you today and you are realizing that, I first want to let you know that Jesus is gracious to forgive you. He is gracious to forgive you. That's why He died on the cross. But secondly, I want you to know that now is an opportunity for you to begin considering Jesus, fixing your thoughts on Jesus more often throughout your day. Start today. This makes me think of the story of when Jesus visited Martha and Mary. Read it with me from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And it says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." Did y'all catch that? Sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." And in verse 41, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Church, we often can be very much like Martha. Distracted with much serving, distracted with all the busyness in our lives, distracted by daily activities like work and chores and the need to get things done just like Martha. Martha was so busy, she was anxious and troubled about many things. She was so busy with serving that she didn't consider Jesus, who was right there in her house. We too can be exactly like that in our lives, can't we? So busy with the things in our lives that we don't consider Jesus. But let us be more like Mary. Let us be more like Mary, who was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. Mary was considering Jesus. Mary was fixing her thoughts on Jesus. Mary was thinking about Jesus. Mary wasn't letting the busyness of her world distract her from thinking and considering Jesus. Church, are you more like Martha, or are you more like Mary? Let us be more like Mary and consider Jesus and fix our thoughts on Jesus, because He is our rock and He is our salvation, because He defines us as holy, because He is the sent one, because He is our high priest, because He is our confession. Let us not be so busy with our lives that we don't forget Jesus. Excuse me, I said that wrong. Let us not be so busy with our lives that we forget Jesus. Let's remember Jesus even through the midst of all the busyness. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Jesus and what He has done for us on the cross, Lord. How He has gave His life, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Jesus and how He has created a new identity in us, Lord. How He has made us holy because He was righteous, Lord. Because His blood has washed over us, Lord. Lord, we thank You for Jesus, for Him being the sent one, the apostle. For Him being the high priest. Lord, help us to consider Jesus and remember that God in His goodness sent Jesus to die on the cross. And because of what Jesus did, because of the work of Jesus, Lord, He has become our high priest. Lord, help us to remember that. Help us to remember that Jesus is our salvation. Lord, help us to remember and consider Jesus because He is our confession. Lord, I pray that we confess Him every day of our lives. Lord, help us to be more like Mary. Help us to be like her and that we will sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His teaching. That we won't let the busyness of our lives distract us from Jesus. God, we need Your help in that. Help us to remember that our hope is not in ourselves, but our hope is in Christ. Dear Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.